From PRX and Transom, this is How Sound, the backstory to great radio storytelling. I'm Rob Rosenthal. A few episodes ago, I featured a story by Shruti Penamanini. She's a producer at the podcast Reply All. Well, today, a different story reported by Shruti, and we'll start with a somewhat lengthy clip. As it plays, listen for what you can't hear. It's there, trust me, but it's not readily evident. Here's the opening to the Reply All episode, Negative Mount Pleasant.
So there's this tiny town in Wisconsin called Mount Pleasant. Population's just 26,000 people, technically it's a village, and life in Mount Pleasant is usually as quiet as you'd expect. They're a suburb of Racine, home of malted milk and the site of some of America's largest cabbage farms, but that's the city. Mount Pleasant's the suburb, a place where nothing really happens. Until last year, when the village became the site of a completely unprecedented, massive international experiment. Shruti Penamanini is going to tell the story.
This fall, I went to Mount Pleasant to meet this woman named Kelly Gallagher.
Hey,
hi, Kelly.
Hi. Come on in.
She lives in this ivy-covered split-level house.
My home is located about a little bit over a mile from Lake Michigan. So
I just saw it.
Did you see it?
I just saw it. But it's really beautiful out here by Racine. It has like a very light blue, almost there's like a Caribbean vibe to it.
Well, it's all about the light. I think it's magical. I think I even like how the lake looks on my GPS. I like it that much.
Kelly has been here for 30 years, and she used to be an arts educator, but now she's basically retired.
When did you start getting involved in kind of more, I don't know what to call it, activism or just kind of village? What would you call it?
Well, I don't know if there is a name of it. I think other people have a lot of names for what I do, but ones I probably wouldn't care to repeat.
The polite name that Kelly's detractors might use for her is busybody. She's an extremely vocal participant in the town's local democracy, and her main stage is this place called Village Hall.
Okay, the hour is upon us. I would like to open the village board meeting to order. Pledge of Allegiance.
Village Hall, which sits right next to the local Y, is where the residents of Mount Pleasant all gather twice a month with their village government to talk about all the local issues that need fixing.
There are weeds this high in the yard of one of the vacant homes. This high. It's been vacant for, I don't know, how many years, Gail? 4 years it's been vacant.
We're going to have some recommendations and numbers for the Lake Park bluff erosion, which is very, very important, probably number one on our agenda.
Our softball game we had this last Sunday for the Case Athletics, that went over very well, too. I didn't get any reports of injuries, so we're good.
There were pictures in the paper, though.
In Racine County, the Mount Pleasant Village Hall meetings are famous, very well attended. They actually tape the meetings and upload them to the website. And if you're like me and have watched every single one, you will look forward to the moment when Kelly...
Good evening. My name is Kelly Gallagher.
Red hair, hoop earrings, steps up to the mic.
Police Captain Brian Smith collected $33,714 in overtime pay in addition to his salary, vacation...
Kelly is basically the local civics watchdog.
Joint Parks has had no minutes published since April 2014.
Almost every week, she uses her allotted 3 minutes to make it very clear to the people in power that she has her eye on them.
Is outrageous even by Mount Pleasant standards.
Ms. Gallagher,
it's called corruption, and we intend to get to the bottom of it. Thank you.
Thank you for your weekly sunshine and good cheer.
That man, who sounds very exasperated, that is Dave DeGroot, village president. He is sitting behind this big, long table in this large office chair at the center of the screen, and he's flanked on both sides by his 6 village trustees. Dave runs this meeting. Dave and Kelly do not like each other. They disagree on pretty much every single thing to do with the future of Mount Pleasant. Kelly even has a sign on her front lawn that says, David DeGroot must resign. And David DeGroot lives 10 doors down from her. It's an intense block. And Kelly told me that it got especially bad about a year ago when she was helping Dave's opponent in the village election.
The previous March, when he was running for office, he sent out a press release basically accusing me of egging his house. Egging his house. Yes, yeah. Yes. He filed a police report and suggested in his press release that I had been involved in the attack, the political and actual literal egg attack on his home, which the police report did not verify at all. In fact, it was they described it as teenagers and a single egg that was tossed on his driveway. It was hardly an attack. I was not there. I only buy organic eggs, which are far too expensive to throw at anyone's house, let alone someone I don't like. It was ridiculous. So it's fair to say that my relationship with him was contentious. I think he's a fool and a terrible village president.
Something that really disturbed me.
And like Wednesday, everything else in Mount Pleasant, this fight too was aired out in the next village board meeting.
They didn't egg anybody else's house, so I'm assuming, you know, that I was specifically targeted. I don't know if it was of a political nature or not.
Up until the summer of 2017, that is what meetings were like in Mount Pleasant Village Hall. And then something much bigger arrived. This decision the village had to make where the only thing that anybody could agree on was that whatever they chose, it would completely transform their village. Kelly says the whole thing started around this time when a friend of hers who owns this large tract of farmland called and told her this really weird thing just happened.
And she said, Kelly, some real estate people just knocked on my door and said they want me to sign this option and I don't know what to do.
How much were they offering her for the land?
I believe that she said that they were going to offer her $30,000 an acre for her land.
And is that number unusual for this area?
Yes. Her acreage at resale at the time would probably maybe be $3,000 to $5,000 an acre.
Like 10 times
yes.
That.
So this is a huge jump. And it was so big, you know, she didn't even know what to do.
At the same time, Kelly is also getting calls from all her friends who work in the local government. And they're saying,
something's coming. Something's happening. It's really, really big. It's going to be enormous. It's going to be giant.
That's the first few minutes of Negative Mount Pleasant from Reply All. I think what most listeners hear, including me, is the reporter, Shruthi. We also hear quotes from interviewees, archive tape from the village meetings, some scoring. What we don't hear, what's missing, what's hidden, is Jessica Young.
I love that.
Jessica was the associate producer for this episode, and simply put, as the AP, Jessica's job throughout the reporting process was to be Shruthi's assistant, and so much more.
I have this notebook of notes that I kept. It's about 100 pages long.
Typically, APs are newbies. They're just starting out. And Jessica is case in point. She worked in book publishing for a few years after college, but then got bitten by the radio bug, and she attended the Transom Story workshop in the spring of 2018. And soon after that, she interned at Reply All and then landed a gig there. Negative Mount Pleasant was her first time APing on an in-depth reported story.
There's something frustrating about being an AP where you're constantly feeling like, oh, I'm doing the thing and that's great, but then you're still having to, you know, learn the ropes while you're doing it. A lot of times I'm like, I just want to feel comfortable with what I'm doing. But I think that to be in this role, you're just constantly being pushed.
On this episode of How Sound, we bring Jessica and her notebook out from behind the scenes to show the hidden work of an associate producer. Before I do that, we need to know just a little bit more about the story, Negative Mount Pleasant. In the excerpt we listened to, we heard from Kelly. She's one of the main characters. She described major changes coming to town.
Something's coming. Something's happening. It's really, really big. It's going to be enormous. It's going to be giant.
Well, that giant thing was eventually revealed.
One day, they get the news not from town hall, not from Dave DeGroot, but from the president of the United States.
This is a great day for American workers and manufacturing, and for everyone who believes in the concept and the label made in the USA.
Trump, at the White House, announces that a major company is coming to Wisconsin. And that company is Foxconn.
Foxconn, a world leader in manufacturing for computers, communications, and consumer electronics, one of the truly great companies of the world.
The deal that Trump is announcing right now is not at all done. None of the details have actually been hashed out. Nothing is signed. But nobody in the village knows that. And they immediately have all these questions. If they've heard of Foxconn, what they know is either this is a company that makes iPhones or that they're notorious for the way they treat their factory workers.
Thousands of Chinese workers staged a one-day strike Friday at the Foxconn factory known for poorly treating workers who help make Apple products such as the iPhone.
Apple CEO Steve Jobs says he's very troubled by a string of suicides at Foxconn.
Fatigue and boredom are common in any factory, but this one is surrounded by suicide nets. They are everywhere.
When these stories came out years ago, Foxconn's reputation in this country was damaged. Like, it's still the thing they're known for. But in the rest of the world, Foxconn is known for being this multi-billion dollar company with these mega factories all over Asia. There's one that employs 200,000 people. The entire population of Mount Pleasant, 26,000. And Trump is saying, this is the company that's going to prove that you can bring jobs back to the U.S.
To make such an incredible investment, Chairman Goh put his faith and confidence in the future of the American economy. In other words, if I didn't get elected, he definitely would not be spending $10 billion.
Trump says that Foxconn has committed to building an LCD panel factory somewhere in Wisconsin, and the full project area would be massive. Like, this would be one of the biggest factory compounds in the entire country. So back in Mount Pleasant, everyone's thinking, that must be us.
So yeah, this is a big story. Contentious, complicated, lots of moving parts. And one of Jessica's tasks was to help Shruthi make sense of it all, to understand Foxconn and why they would locate a factory in Wisconsin. So they interviewed experts, authorities on supply chain management in Asia, people who studied Foxconn, economic development experts, sources familiar with the environmental impact of factories making LCDs. They even interviewed workers in those factories.
And then after that, I would cut up that tape, isolating the pieces of tape that we liked the most. And then we would send it to our editor, and then we would talk again and talk about what we needed, what we still didn't understand. And we just did that process for a while before we went to Wisconsin.
At the same time, Jessica hunted for characters for the story, people who lived in Mount Pleasant. She read articles, watched reports, and she started calling people, but the pre-interviews didn't go very well. The people she was reaching out to weren't good talkers. And this wasn't going well, and she felt stuck.
And then I thought, it's a small village. There must be some kind of a village hall. And so I looked up their village government website, and then I found this SoundCloud catalog of all of their meetings. And then on top of that, then there was this Facebook page that had some videos of the village board meetings. And so I just started listening and started watching. And after a while, it was like watching my favorite TV show or something. I used to start to like know different people in the town, and I knew what their issues were. I knew what they cared about. And it was kind of this great resource where I knew how these people talked also.
I come before the board today to talk about the same subject everyone has been for the last 3 months, Foxconn. As you can tell by my address, I am one of those who are probably going to lose my house. But then again, no one knows where this is going, right?
Guys, we've been dealt a wonderful hand here. We just got to play it right. This is critical to guys like me who operate small businesses in Mount Pleasant. We need this.
There are better, less.
When I first started as an internet reply all, I remember someone saying, the way that you can be good at radio is to never lose your instinct. Once you start trying to think too hard about, I don't know, the technicalities of radio, that's when you kind of get worse at it. And once you hone in on this kind of more primal reaction that you have to tape, the better you'll be. And I remember thinking about that a lot when I was listening to these tapes. If it made me laugh, I would highlight it. I would keep it in a list. If it made me sad, or if it really, with a lot of clarity, got through to me what like some kind of issue was, I made note of that.
About what is going to happen and when, instead of all of us hearing nothing but rumors.
Why can't this village board tell the village people that this is coming? Is somebody twisting your arm telling you can't talk about it?
These recordings were a treasure trove of possible characters. Jessica dug up contact info, and she and Shruthi conducted pre-interviews.
We asked a lot of the people the same questions. We wanted them to tell the whole story. But then, while the interview is going on, Shruthi and I are on Slack. And so if there's something that I'm curious about or something that I want more of, I can Slack her during the interview while it's going on.
So you're laying a ton of groundwork for everything.
Yeah. And I think it was really important that we did that because we weren't in Wisconsin for very long. And so we really needed to know what we needed from the people that we've already talked to, you know, what moments that we liked. I remember Kelly Gallagher, when we were talking to her on the phone, she said, something is coming. Something is coming, something big, something enormous. And I remember us hearing that. And it was the first time I really felt like, you know, a Mount Pleasant resident and like something was going to come and totally overturn my town. And we wanted that again. And so when we went, I think that it was really crucial to know that she would be the person to supply that feeling for the story.
Eventually, Jessica and Shruthi went to Mount Pleasant. Sometimes they'd split up. Shruthi interviewed while Jessica sought other sources for the story. In fact, at one point, Jessica followed a local politician going door-to-door canvassing constituents about Foxconn. Jessica says this was an excellent way to meet people who weren't attending the village hall meetings but still had plenty to say. Other times, they stayed together for interviews. Jessica sat across from Shruthi, filling up her notebook. She logged the interview as it happened. Stars indicated good tape, or she made notes about topics that needed to be returned to because they were confusing. Then, when the interviews for the day were done, the day wasn't. They'd log tape at night. All the while on this trip, Jessica filled her notebook with color notes, jotting down observations.
You know, some political campaign attack ad that we saw on TV in the motel we were staying at that talked about Foxconn. A McDonald's sign that was looking for more people to work there. Things that just helped us understand the place that might have been useful when Shruthi was writing.
Up to this point, Jessica has described the logistical aspects of the job of associate producer. Note-taking, culling through tape, searching for characters, learning about factories. A lot of brain work, if you will. Well, Jessica says there's another side of the job, one that requires heart.
Watching Shruthi, I was like, wow, this is really painful for being a reporter. There's a good amount of pain that you must go through, emotional pain, when it's your story.
So Jessica says she helped by remaining enthusiastic. Sometimes she even suggested they go get bubble tea.
I think that all of that kind of emotional support is pretty key.
Here's what I think is going on. I think it's just math. Foxconn did the math. It's very cheap for them to operate in China. So what would America need to do for Foxconn in order to make it worth their while? Just being here, it's a hedge against tariffs. But how much other stuff could they get out of a town like Mount Pleasant? And Foxconn, being this very smart international operator, they're used to dealing with countries, and they have this trick.
To reiterate, the story Jessica AP'd on is complex. Lots of moving parts, many characters. It's local, it's national, it's international in scope. Once they returned from reporting, Jessica says they eventually lost sight of the story. They were buried in tape and ideas. So she suggested making a timeline. This happened, then this happened. Trump announced this, Foxconn did that.
And then once we had all of that, you know, then we could point to all the things that were, you know, funny, and we could see it all clearly. Like, these are the things that hurt to listen to. These are the things that are really enjoyable. And it immediately made the story feel doable. And at the moment, it made us remember what we loved about it, too.
As the story moved forward and developed, Jessica selected more tape. She sat in on edits. She even made edits.
A lot of Shruthi and I calling each other at like 11 p.m. to read through, you know, story beats or read through scripts, playing tape.
They spent late nights in the studio and they worked on weekends. And finally, the story was complete.
When we were done and, you know, the final MP3 was bouncing, Shruthi and I were so exhausted and we were on the couch at the Gimlet offices. And we were like, you know what? Because when we were at Wisconsin, all we wanted to do when we were in the motel was just to watch TV. And we just kept saying we wanted to watch TV, but we couldn't because we had to cut tape. And so when we were waiting for the episode to bounce, we were like, why don't we watch TV? And so we sat on the couch and turned on Netflix and we got under some blankets and we just kind of dozed off watching TV. And it was just the best feeling I've had at this job.
Jessica Young is an associate producer at Reply All. I put a link to the entire episode of Negative Mount Pleasant up at the post for this House Sound. It is well worth a listen. It's incredibly dramatic and surprising. And now when you listen, you can hear Jessica. Jeff Towne has done it again. He's Transom's tools editor. Jeff explains complicated audio issues. He offers technical tips on editing and mixing, and he reviews gear. Most recently, he reviewed the new Sony D10 recorder, complete with audio samples and lots of helpful photos. Find that gear review and many others at transom.org. In Radiotopia news, Criminal is going on tour. This September, catch Criminal on stage in Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and Brooklyn. They're even going as far north as Toronto and out west to points from Vancouver down to Los Angeles. I hope to catch them in Boston. More info is at thisiscriminal.com. This is House Sound, the backstory to great radio storytelling from PRX and Transom. Thanks to John Barth, who marks up my scripts, and to WCAI in Woods Hole. They lend a studio so I can record my narration. I'm Rob Rosenthal. Thanks for listening.
From PRX and Transom.org.